Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It's sex therapy time.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
And as always, lads, a little ears warning here. You can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. We're going to talk about emotional cheating and what types of things are considered emotional cheating in relationships. So joining me on the line now is our sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook. Good morning.
Hiya, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. An interesting one, more focused on relationship rather than the sex part. So let's talk about it. How do people actually define emotional cheating?
So it totally depends on the person, but generally in monogamous relationships, I think emotional cheating is kind of defined as forming a strong, intimate emotional bond with someone other than your partner that has an element of romantic or sexual interest as well.
Right.
So it can also occur without the element of romance or sort of, you know, eroticism presence. I've worked with people who feel emotionally cheated on by partners who share too much with friends, with work colleagues, or even family members, you know, people who there's no sort of romantic aspect to it whatsoever. So, you know, people can find that emotional, feel it's emotional cheating because their partners have simply engaged in sort of deep kind of sustained closeness or intimacy with someone that they, in a way that makes them feel excluded. So I've even talked to people who feel their partner is emotionally cheating on them with a therapist.
Stop it. That is crazy. So what types of things are considered emotional cheating in relationships?
Yeah, okay, so if we look at it as one way to look at it is that it has three components: a strong emotional connection, secrecy, and an element of sexual or romantic sort of tension.
Okay.
Other things you could think about are that the person completely fills your mental space. You think about them, you know, constantly, obsessively. Maybe you find yourself modifying your routine or schedule to see the person more frequently. The quantity and frequency of contact with them increases, and you know your feelings for them sort of deepen and intensify. But it's really very hard to define because it's different in every relationship. Every person has their own set of, you know, every couple has their own unique set of relationship boundaries. So there's lots of ways to look at this. Maybe if you find yourself exchanging daily texts about your life with, say, a coworker where there's an emotional connection, and then that you also don't want your partner to know about it, you know, that would mean there was secrecy. And then you could also sort of think about, well, does the idea of kissing them really excite you? That might be veering into that. So it might be that you're hiding or lying about how close you are to someone else. Maybe you're deleting messages and calls so your partner doesn't see that. Maybe you're venting to this person a lot about how unhappy you are in your relationship, but that there's an element of you potentially being interested in them. It might be sending inappropriate messages, which again, the definition of inappropriate differs from person to person. It might be using dating apps just for a laugh, even though you're in, let's say, a monogamous relationship. It could be not being honest with your partner about how you're feeling in the relationship with them, using this other person as a kind of a buffer. So there's lots of different ways to look at how you might be emotionally cheating.
Do you think it's more or less hurtful than physical cheating?
Oh, so this is, it seems to depend, again, depend on the person. I think that from research, it seems to be that women in heterosexual relationships find emotional cheating more upsetting than sexual, and that men in heterosexual relationships find sexual cheating more hurtful. But there's also been some research done on bisexual, gay and lesbian relationships, and they actually don't find there to be much difference between sexual and emotional cheating. So it seems to partly be to do with these kind of societal scripts about how we view relationships and the role of different genders in relationships. So it really totally depends on the person. But I would say, yes, a very high percentage of people, especially those raised as women, really fear their partner having an emotional affair, possibly because it's harder to define.
So what would you say to those people who do get upset by it?
So, well, I think getting upset about emotional cheating is generally about a fear of being replaced. You know, it's an overwhelming feeling of insecurity about a potential loss. It might be about jealousy. It's often associated with feeling possessive over another person, you know, which is very sort of encouraged in our society, this idea that you should be sexually exclusive and that if you're not, then that means that there's something wrong with your relationship or you're not into each other enough. But I would also say, you know, jealousy is a very, very common, normal thing that is a universal emotion, as is insecurity. Everybody feels these things sometimes. So I think, you know, really sitting down and talking to your partner, first of all, you've got to define for yourselves and to each other what emotional cheating is. Because, of course, you know, the amount of people who come to me absolutely devastated that their partner has done something that either, you know, their partner just wouldn't have seen as emotional cheating, or, you know, they hadn't even really thought about it. And this person has discovered, or maybe they've accidentally told their partner, not thinking that they would be upset. And people just can be absolutely traumatized. You know, I've had people really experience trauma around emotional cheating. And of course, there's different levels and degrees of it. But that, you know, you really have to sit down and talk about like what that means to you, what it is that you're afraid of, so that you can work out, you know, how you can be more comfortable and feel safe in your relationship without suffocating each other. Yeah, because on the other hand, there's also this kind of you know, the social messaging that like most of us really do need more friends, especially as we age and especially for men in our society. You know, one of the top, you know, reasons or, you know, seeming like contributors to male suicide is around not having enough social connections in their lives. So, you know, that's also something to look at here is how on one hand we're saying, don't be too close to other people, especially if there's the potential that you might be romantically or sexually interested in them. But also, most of us are bloody lonely. So, you know, hard to say.
What's the key here, Rachel? Because, I mean, if you're looking at it, you're saying if you're in a relationship, you can't have platonic friends, you know, because it might be seen as emotional cheating. So what, and but then on the other hand, you know, men need, it's been proven, they need to have more friends. So is openness the key here?
Openness and communication with your partner about this, because there is no exact right way to do this. No one can say universally that the rule is that you should have this amount of friends, or that if you once have a sexual fantasy about a friend, that that means you're emotional cheating. It's like, it's totally normal to sometimes have fleeting sexual romantic attractions to other people. You know, this idea that you would only be attracted to the one person who you're with in a monogamous relationship is, you know, that is wild. It's just doesn't hold up. And so, you know, I think that being open with yourself first and foremost, and then talking to your partner about what might be happening. You know, if you find that you are feeling very infatuated, let's say with a colleague or with a friend of yours, it might be someone who's a reasonably new friend or someone who you've been friends with maybe for years. Maybe you're starting to feel butterflies a lot when you're seeing them. Again, sometimes this is quite normal to feel that you have a honeymoon period with someone you're getting to know, even if they're, you know, you really have no intention of there being anything sexual or romantic happening with this person. But that, let's say you notice that you are feeling secretive about it, that, you know, look at what in your relationship might you be missing, or and outside your relationship, because you can't expect your romantic relationship to provide absolutely everything for you, as we've talked about many times before. Jen, you know, in our current society, we're still basically expecting our one partner to be our therapist, our coach, our social secretary, our lover, our, you know, all sorts of things, our, you know, companion, and so our sports buddy. Like, that no one person is going to be able to be all of these things all the time. So just, you got to talk to your partner about what this means.
And their levels of comfort, like you said there, if, you know, if they're not going to be everything to you, which is impossible, if you can find that in someone else, to what level of comfort with your partner can you continue that relationship? Is there such a thing as emotional cheating if you're in an open or other kind of non-monogamous relationship?
Yes, there definitely is. So basically in a non-monogamous context, especially polyamorous, you know, basically emotional cheating will boil down to whether or not there was proactive consent on developing those connections. So depending on the form of non-monogamy, because there are, you know, many different types, but let's say most people who would describe themselves as polyamorous, you know, if you're just going ahead and going out on a night out and hooking up with someone or, you know, developing a very strong emotional bond with someone who you think there might be that might develop into a romantic or sexual relationship, you know, if you haven't discussed that with your partner or partners, then that still constitutes cheating. You know, cheating is so much more about trust and a sense of safety that you can, you know, depend on a person to be reliable and not sort of, you know, totally screw you over. So yes, there can be emotional cheating in almost any kind of relationship sort of format or style.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a common myth that it wouldn't be possible to cheat in a non-monogamous relationship, but that's absolutely untrue.
Okay. What do you think you should do then if you find out your partner has been emotionally cheating or they tell you they have?
Yeah, so important to attempt to identify why the person did this, find out if it's still going on, discover what needs were being met by this other person, and then also definitely take time to check in with what you need to, you know, you're probably going to need some time to just grieve and feel sad, you know, and feel angry and work out how to feel respect and trust again with this person. So there's probably going to need to be a period of repair where you're doing a lot of, there's a lot of conversation about maybe where you've been taking each other for granted, you know, and not taking responsibility for each of your own sort of needs in the relationship and your well-being. So, you know, often it can be a great stepping stone into having a much stronger relationship.
Well, that's positive.
Yeah,
that is positive. So what if you are the emotional cheater? Do you think it's better to own up or deal with it yourself or keep it on the down low? What do you think?
Oh, so, you know, I think we've talked about this before. Like if it was a one off thing, if it's an absolutely one off thing and this is a relationship that you massively value, then potentially and it's something that you then stop. You know, then I think sometimes you are just trying to alleviate your own guilt by sharing that with your partner. If it's something that has happened repeatedly, I think you absolutely owe that person the you know, the transparency of what they're doing with you and what your pattern is. So I think that, yeah, it's kind of going to depend on the degree to which it has happened and also the degree to which it is still going on. Because if this is, let's say, a colleague who, you know, you've had
a bit of an escape.
Yeah, you can't escape. And so, you know, that's kind of it's definitely a tricky one. But I think, you know, the more that we can open up these conversations about normalizing, you know, normalizing sexual attraction to other people besides your monogamous partner.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's absolutely, the more that you can talk about it, I find this is the same with nearly all emotions and sort of things that we might see as shameful or shadow sides of us, the more that we can acknowledge them to ourselves. Now, sometimes your partner is not the place to kind of process this with. This might be better to do with friends or with a therapist, but that generally bringing these feelings to light and normalizing them makes you so much less likely to act destructively on them, because you're able to just recognize that, like, having feelings like this is completely normal, completely universal. It's very common. And, you know, you don't have to feel guilt or shame for having these feelings. And you also don't have to act on them. You can consciously decide that, you know, either what it means is actually you see it as a signal that you just need more, you know, platonic friendships in your life, or you need more activities, or you need a bit more novelty. Or it might mean that you really want to discuss possibly opening up your relationship. Now, it's not a good time to talk about opening up your relationship, you know, when or just after someone has emotionally or physically cheated. But that, you know, it can certainly sometimes make people more aware that they just, you know, don't want to live their lives monogamously, and that there's lots of other ways that they could do it.
Well said. Rachel Cook, thank you so much for the chat today. I'll chat to you next week, okay?
See you, Jen.
Bye, love. There we go. That is Rachel Cook, our psychotherapist and mental health consultant. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end, and she will be back next week. If you have a question you would like us to put to her, get in touch with the team 24/7 on jen@rte.ie. I'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.